This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's How to Sell from the Stage Like a Pro training program. Finally, a proven step-by-step formula for closing more sales from the stage with extreme confidence. If you speak from the stage and want to have more audience members anxious to invest in your programs and solutions, then do yourself a favor and invest in Jim's proven formula, and you'll soon be closing more sales like a pro. Check it out today at www.howtosellfromthestage.com. That's www.howtosellfromthestage.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my very special guest is podcast sensation. I'm going to call her Jamie Tardy. Let me tell you a little bit about Jamie. Ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to be a millionaire. So she went to a great school and just basically paved the path into corporate America. She ended up with what kind of looked like an amazing life on the surface, and she had a career, but there was one big problem. She hated it, didn't like corporate America. She made good money, but she was also $70,000 in debt, and then she did something which I find really amazing. She paid off that debt, $70,000 in debt in 16 months, and then she quit her job and started her own business, and today Jamie is the host of the very popular web show called Eventual Millionaire, and on this show, she interviews, and she has interviewed over 90 millionaires, and she's been seen on CNN, MSN, Yahoo's homepage, in fact, twice, Success Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and many more. I want to highly encourage all the listeners of Stick Like Glue Radio to check out her show at eventualmillionaire.com, where you, too, can learn the three habits of successful millionaires. Jamie, thank you for being my very special guest today on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim, and that wonderful introduction.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I think we were originally scheduled to do this like a month or so ago, and Jessica, my guest scheduler, mentioned you. Did you have surgery, like on your foot, I believe?
I had foot surgery. Woohoo! Good time. So thank you for rescheduling. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's no problem. Are you doing okay? Everything's getting back to normal?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of my own fault. I injured it in karate and then had to have a bone removed. So I know, weird things, but I'm now off crutches. So thankfully
well,
all went well.
You. Okay. You know, I first became aware of you from a mutual friend, John Lee Dumas, you know, of Entrepreneur on Fire fame. And I have to tell you, I really admire what you're doing with your podcast and actually with your life when I started learning more. I just released my fifth book called Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier, Create Your Dream Business Now, and I think in many ways you are living that title of the book. Wouldn't you agree?
I'm thankful that I totally agree.
You know, my audience, Jamie, is made up of entrepreneurs and small business owners, and you know, I don't have any scientific proof, but I know from coaching many entrepreneurs, they all struggle with debt, or many people, I'll say, struggle with debt, especially when starting a business. As I mentioned in the intro, you did something a little different. You paid off your debt before starting your business. Most people go into debt after they start a business. What gave you the motivation and the drive to do that and then start your business?
Well, it's kind of a funny thing. I didn't realize we were in so much debt because we made really good money. I was actually the breadwinner. I had a corporate job being a project manager for a video on demand company, so I'd fly around. And it sounded amazing on the surface, right? I had an expense account. It was wonderful. I made six figures at the age of 22. So you would think that would be everything. Well, I was in $70,000 in debt, and I thought I was good with money beforehand. It's not as though it was crazy credit card debt. It was student loans, home equity loans, car loans, that sort of thing. So even just adding it all up, I realized I could never quit my job because of all the payments I had to make. And that was really stifling, knowing that I had made not so great choices and I was sort of stuck where I was really hard for a control freak like me to be able to know. So that's why I went and tackled the debt first, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to ever quit my job with those payments hanging over my head. And my husband is a performer and has a variable income, so we had to get hardcore on budgeting and figuring out actually how to use your money way better if I was ever going to quit my job.
You know, I have four grown kids, and one of my sons, he's 28 years old, he kind of sold everything a few months ago and moved out to California. He just wanted to start life anew, and he said basically driving out there with just clothes and whatever fit in his car, he said he felt so relieved not to be in debt, but also not have to feel like I have to make so much money because I have all these loans. He said it was a very incredible feeling.
It was hugely freeing. Like paying off the car, realizing that it was mine was a huge thing. But also just sort of that emotional sense that you don't owe anybody anything. And it's amazing what that sort of does to you, that, you know, no matter what happens, especially in your own business, if you're starting your own business and have all these bills over your head, you make different decisions in your business because you have to do that. And that's a hard thing. We live emotionally. We make choices very differently based on what our situation is. So being able to take care of that piece first was huge. And usually, I'm actually coming up with a book in February, too, called The Eventual Millionaire. What a surprise. And it goes through and talks about how we did. We got rid of pretty much everything we owned. We pared down, paid off that 70 grand in debt by working our butts off, of course, and it sort of goes through exactly how we did that. And then sort of that realization after that I can do what I love. Like quitting that job, that day I quit my job was amazing. And scary also, extremely scary, but completely amazing. And I haven't looked back since, thankfully.
Well, just so people don't think this is the Dave Ramsey Financial Show, let's switch gears a little bit. For those listeners that have not checked out your show yet, how would you describe Eventual Millionaire and kind of what was your original goal for the show?
Well, it's funny. I actually had the realization way back when that I wanted to be a millionaire, but I sort of, since I went that corporate route and hated it, I realized it wasn't about the money, right? And most people that have their own business are doing it because they enjoy it and they love it, not because, you know, it's going to make them tons of money. Sometimes it does, definitely. I love that you don't have a ceiling when you're an entrepreneur, usually. But it also comes with a whole bunch of craziness as it goes. So I like to say that the definition of an eventual millionaire is someone who has the goal to be a millionaire eventually, but they want to do it on their own terms. So they want to have an enjoyable life and an enjoyable business. And I talk to millionaires every single week, people that have a net worth of at least $1 million or more, and they've made it in business, because I'm a business coach. I care about business. So I ask them exactly how they went and did it and lived the life they enjoy and have a business they enjoy.
That's so awesome. You know, my journey started 12 years ago. A lot of people quit or want to do this, but I was kind of forced out. I lost my job, like a lot of entrepreneurs. And after 15 months of unemployment, and then actually right in the middle of it, had cancer. And I just decided in October 2001 to get control of my life. And now I run multiple companies. It's been a fun ride. But it really, you know, going through that experience really woke me up as to kind of what's important in life and things like that. So it's fun making a difference in people's lives and things like that. Now, you've interviewed, Jamie, over 90 millionaires at this point, and I'm guessing by now you've probably learned a lot about what makes someone very successful. Have you identified one or two common themes amongst all your guests? Is there, have you cracked the code, so to speak?
That's a really great question. And I get that all the time. People ask me, what's the secret sauce? Tell me that one thing. And of course, Jim, you know that there's not like one or two things that makes you a millionaire overnight or anything like that. But I think everybody listening to this knows that too. But there have definitely been key things that come up over and over and over again. And that's what I was looking for. I wanted to know, you know, did they have entrepreneurial parents? Maybe that's why they had sort of a head start. Maybe they were really frugal. Maybe they're extreme risk takers. So I, for the book, ended up doing a huge survey to try and find out, like, what they actually did based on the data. And it's been really surprising. Most of them did not have entrepreneurial parents, which is huge to know. But the ones that did were farther ahead faster. So they were able to do it at a younger age than the other ones, which just makes perfect sense, right? If your parents were teaching you how to be entrepreneurial at a younger age, of course you're going to succeed a little bit faster than someone who found it like you or I, who never really had that foundation. So there's key little pieces like that. But one of the things that keeps coming up over and over and over again, and I think if I surveyed them on this, they might not even recognize it. But one of the things that came up way too many times to count is one of the habits. And one of the habits is that they have a no-excuses approach. And what that means is they don't, it's not as though they don't have excuses, because I'm sure you know that you have excuses, I have excuses, they have excuses. It's everybody on this earth pretty much has excuses. But what they're able to do that a lot of people aren't is they're able to recognize them and move past them anyway, even if it's fear that's stopping them, whether they say, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, all these excuses that come up are totally things that you can actually get past. But most people just let them stop them in their tracks, especially the I don't have enough money or to do something or other. There are always ways to figure out what you want. And many small business owners know that. You've got to be a little creative. And that's what millionaires do. They figure things out and just keep that moving forward every time, no matter what.
I think you're right. You know, I've learned, and I teach my students also, wealth rewards risk and wealth rewards speed. I mean, you have to be out. If it wasn't risky and if it wasn't hard work, we'd have a nation full of billionaires, you know what I mean? So, you know, what you said about excuses really rings true. Just a couple days ago, I interviewed John Taffer from Bar Rescue. Have you seen that show on Spike TV?
No, I haven't.
You got to check it out. He goes in. It's kind of like, I don't know, if Restaurant Impossible with that, what's his name, Robert Devine, I think. He goes in there and turns around failing restaurants. Well, John Taffer goes around and turns around failing bars, but he's kind of a big guy. He got a very out there personality. And he goes right in people's face, I don't embrace excuses. I embrace solutions. And he turns around these bars in like 5 days. It's a great show. Just because of the way you are, you'd love it. So just check that out on demand or something. But so, would you be willing to share something that you have personally learned, Jamie, from you know all the millionaire interviews you've done, and maybe something how you've actually implemented what you've learned in your business?
Definitely. So one of the things that I've learned over and over and over again, because I'm really lucky, number one, to be able to talk to millionaires and access them, right? Most people don't have a chance. Like, you have a chance to chat with a host of an amazing TV show. A lot of people don't get those chances to be able to ask whatever questions they want from people. So a lot of the things that I used to ask before was very specific, especially after we'd get off the line, they'd offer to give me advice or something like that. And it was really interesting to sort of see them, not that they're not transparent on camera, but even off camera, they are very transparent in how scared they were, how they're not sure they're making the right decisions. And a couple times, a couple called me out on going, just do it, Jamie. Stop researching. Stop trying to find more information to find out whether you're on the right path or not. Just go out there and take that action. Because excuse, right? Well, I don't have enough information. I don't know if I'm really, you know, going the right way. And I had, seriously, I mean, I think I talked to 10 millionaires who gave me their all different opinions on each thing that I had. And they were all a little bit different, so I wasn't sure. And the thing I learned from that and from them is that, you know what, you pick the best choice you have with the information that you have. And you can't just keep going seeking for that one right answer. You pick what you can, you take action on it, you move forward, and you tweak and adjust, pivot, do whatever you need to do in order to move that forward, push that ball forward. When we're stuck in that information mode, and I do this with my clients sometimes, they love podcasts. Makes sense. They listen to my podcast. As soon as I have them as clients, I'm usually like, okay, stop listening to podcasts. Which they hate, of course. I do let them when they're in the car, they can listen, or at the gym. Two definite places you can still listen to podcasts. But what I learned and what I had been doing before is I was so inundated with trying to get all the information for everything that I wasn't truly focusing on the things that were in front of me and only learning that. So really, like, if you're talking about learning sales pages or some sort of sales technique because you're selling, that's when you need that information, not like 6 months ago when you were listening to a podcast and thought it was really good. So I think that just-in-time learning and taking action anyway, moving forward what you can, were huge changes in me, especially before, you know, interviewing hundreds of, almost 100 millionaires.
You know, that's really true. And one of the things I've learned from, you know, helping entrepreneurs for about 5 years now is most of them have a thick skin. And, you know, everybody has fear. I know some people say, oh, I'm fearless, I'll just do anything. And that's, you know, some people may have less fear than others. But what I think happens is when entrepreneurs who are not afraid to fail and they go out there and try and do it, they develop a thick skin, because what happens is when people think, well, what if this doesn't work, or, you know, is my spouse or my family or my friends or everybody's going to see this if I'm promoting it in a big way, and I think that holds them back. So when people develop a thick skin and kind of a, I'm just going to do it anyway, even though, you know, they don't have all the answers, I think that's what helps people move forward.
Definitely. I just interviewed a guy named Josh from BiggerPockets.com, and it's like this huge real estate network where it's very transparent and open, not sort of guru-ish. But it was really interesting because he said something that I had heard actually a couple times from millionaires before. So I was like, oh, aren't you scared? Like, what made you decide to sort of push that forward? And he's like, I started out as an actor, and we failed all the time. We were told no, that we weren't good enough, over and over and over again. And another guy that I interviewed called Amos Wimbush III, he was actually just on Secret Millionaire not that long ago, he was a singer-songwriter. He said the exact same thing. He's like, I just got so used to it, it was not a big deal at all. And I think it's funny because we're so scared of this stuff, but once you do it over and over and over again, you get a much thicker skin. So even if you're at the beginning right now, as long as you keep pushing forward and you keep doing it, that your skin is going to grow thicker and thicker, and it'll be very helpful for the future.
You know, I launched my second business in 2006, and it was right around this big trade show I was going to be exhibiting at. And it was real, I could have used easily another 30 days of proofing and writing copy and things like that. But I had already invested to exhibit at this booth and have people come there and things like that. So I had to push the go button. So after the first day being on the floor and having people come up to my booth and things like that, I went up to the room dog-tired, Jamie. I opened my laptop, and I looked at the website, which I had, you know, someone doing that for me, and I'm just kind of reading through it, and I'm going, oh, my God, holy crap. There's, you know, grammar, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. And then the second thing I did is I opened my email, and it said, you have an order. And that's when I realized you don't have to be perfect. You launch it, and you make corrections as you go along. It was a pretty cool experience to kind of go through that, oh, my God, oh, what the hell, it works anyway type thing.
And that, you need to know that over and over and over again, because even just today, it's funny, everything's been pushed back because of my foot injury, this and everything else, and I am so behind in everything, and my project manager is like, are we still launching today? And I'm like, yes, we are. I don't know if it's going to be good. We're just going to do it anyway. We'll see how it goes. I mean, that's sort of the way you have to do. And while it's not comfortable, don't get me wrong, I'm sure you probably feel the same way, it's definitely not comfortable. It's not like, yeah, let's do this all the time. But it's something that you can deal with and just push forward anyway.
Absolutely. You know, one of the other things that I find, I wonder if you found this from your interviews, but having the ability to let go, I call it release. You got to release and let go. And so I actually have 9 assistants that help me get things done around my different businesses. And therefore, I get to focus on what I refer to as high revenue generating activity. So in other words, stop licking your stamp, stop going to the dry cleaner, stop doing all this stuff that you could get somebody to do for you so you can concentrate on growing your business. Do you find people, you know, at the millionaire level, that I'm sure that must be a common trait, is they're good at delegating.
Huge, yeah, huge, 1,000 times yes. Because, you know, there's only so much that one person can do. And so being able to have them do, especially their natural abilities, and this is something that comes up over and over and over again too. People say, you shouldn't be doing the stuff that you're not good at. But not only that, you shouldn't be doing the stuff that you're okay at. Because sometimes as entrepreneurs, we're like, oh, but I could do that. Like, and it's not that bad. And I don't really want to, I don't know if anyone else can do it better than me. So, you know, I'll keep it. But what's funny is if you can find a rock star on your team that can do it 10 times better than you, then it is 1,000 times worth it to be able to have them do it. I mean, millionaire after millionaire go through and talk about, because I asked the same last question for every interview. It's what's one action listeners can take this week to move them forward towards their goal of a million. And I don't know how many times they say delegate or get a key employee that you can trust, that you can give to and know that they're going to do okay. Those are huge things for anyone to try and grow a business.
Yeah, I forget where I learned it. It's many, many years ago, listening to an interview, somebody said, the less I do, the more I make. And I'm like, oh, how does that work? You know. But then when you start delegating and getting other people to do things, it's not that I put my feet up for 80 hours a week. Quite to the contrary. I just work really hard on other things that only I can do or that, like I say, are high revenue generating activities. So in our last like 4 or 5 minutes here, I want to just switch gears. Podcasting is absolutely exploding. Everybody's coming up with new podcasts and things like that. Now, you got started. Well, actually, when exactly did you start your millionaire program?
Almost 3 years ago, actually.
Wow. So, you know what? In this world, 3 years ago, you were a pioneer at that stage. So, how does that? You were a trailblazer, Jamie. How is that working? As far as do you find? I mean, to me, it's like, I use this same very simple setup because people have come to know me. They come to me for information, not for this huge sound. And it doesn't sound like I'm in a New York radio station. But how do you do your shows? I mean, you do yours videotaped. Are you kind of using the same equipment and same kind of theme and fear, you know, way of doing things that you were 3 years ago? Or is there like a constant evolution?
It's funny. I talk to a lot of people about podcasting, and I helped John Dumas actually start his podcast a little over a year ago. And so being able to go through and tell people what's worth it and what's not worth it. So the same mic that I have is the exact same one that I do now. And I think I might upgrade soon after I move. But I don't know. It gets the job done. It's good quality. It was $100-something microphone, USB. Totally fine. I did get somebody else to start doing all the editing for me, and then they put a skin on it, so I get a lot of people asking about how does the video look so cool. So I've upgraded in little ways. I've changed the video bumper and all that fun stuff. But in general, I mean, podcasting is podcasting, right? It's a radio show. Radio hasn't evolved all that much in however long it's been. So it's amazing that we can get it on demand nowadays and really tailor it to the specific needs. But podcasting is pretty much the same, like you were saying. Now, I've tried to take it to the next level by using video. And actually, one of the millionaires I interviewed was like, Jamie, you have to do video, because I wasn't at first. And I was scared. I didn't want to do video. I'd have to put on, like, makeup and have to deal with that. But that has been a huge impact, too. So that changed after about the first year of podcasting. I became video podcasting. And so now I have both, and they're on YouTube, and they're just more able to be distributed everywhere.
Nice. What kind of software do you use to record your video interviews?
This is actually another story. Andrew Warner from Mixergy, have you ever heard of that show?
No.
Okay, that might be something that you really like too. So Andrew's interviewed over 600 entrepreneurs, usually startups, but he, you know, Tim Ferriss, I mean, you name it, Eric Ries, he's interviewed them. Andrew is a friend of mine, and he finally got on the show with me, and he told me, he's like, you cannot do this with a PC. You have to switch to a Mac. And I had been a PC girl my entire life. I have a degree in IT. I'm a geek. But I kept having issues over and over and over again. And so I finally listened to him. I bought a little MacBook Pro. I use Ecamm call recorder with Skype, right? It records video and audio. it has not had, and well, fingers crossed, knock on wood, it has not had nearly any problems comparatively to the other one. The other one would die often, and I feel horrible because I have millionaires on the line and tech glitches every other episode. But now it's been super stable, so I highly recommend going that route.
I'm almost regretting asking now, because if it crashes, you're going to come blaming me for making me say that. So Jamie, how can people learn more about you and follow you and get subscribed to your show?
If you go to eventualmillionaire.com, you'll see all of the interviews. If you look at the millionaire case studies, you can also, like you said before, sign up for the 3 habits of all successful millionaires. And you can also go on iTunes, because if you want to subscribe on iTunes, just look up Eventual Millionaire and subscribe that way. You'll automatically get it. If you do sign up for the list, I email you every Monday. They call it Millionaire Monday. So every Monday, you get a new interview from a millionaire that can help you grow your business.
Love that. Love that. Well, thanks for being such a good guest and sharing so much good information. I wish you, obviously, a lot of continued success with your show.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Well, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the super talented creator and host of Eventual Millionaire, Jamie Tardy. Stick Like Glue Radio, again, is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.